Daniel 2, verse 1. And in the year, and in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. And the king commanded to all the magicians and astrologers and the sorcerers and Chaldeans for to show king his dream. So they came and stood before the king. And king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king of Syria, to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. Verse 13. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Verse 31, thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet of feet, part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain, and fill the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold, and after thee shall rise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron. For as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, and as the toes of the feet were part of iron and a part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest the iron mixed with the miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. The Lord will bless the reading of his words.
Thank you, Young. The chapter 2 of the book of Daniel is the longest chapter in the book. It consists of 49 verses. Perhaps I ought to just set forth the structure of the chapter before we say anything else. You notice that from verse 1 to verse 13, it's all about the crisis of Nebuchadnezzar. And in that crisis period, we find we have the dream and then the king's decree that all the wise men of Babylon should be slain. And then from verse 14 down to verse 30, we now have the crisis in relation to Daniel. And in this crisis relating to Daniel, we find also that there are two events that Daniel just highlights for us. And so we find in these verses, from verse 14 down to verse 30, we learn, after all, what we should do as believers in days of crisis, number one. And then, of course, we have the revelation that God gave unto Daniel as a result of his prayer. And then from verse 31 to 43, we have now two parts. 31 to 35 is what Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream as Daniel reminded him of it. Then from verse 36 to 43, we have the interpretation of that dream for the benefit of Nebuchadnezzar. And then in verses 44 and 45, we have the climax when God is going to establish an everlasting kingdom, and it will be forever and ever. And then the last verses, we just learn of the exhortation of Daniel. So 49 verses, I split into five pieces, and just to get the feel of the chapter before we try and see what this chapter is all about. You'll notice, first of all, that over this chapter, we must realize the sovereignty of God in relation not only to the origin of nations, but also their history. And so what Daniel, or what Nebuchadnezzar is going to learn in this chapter, he's going to learn three things. Number one, that God is sovereign in relation to the origin and destiny of nations. That's the first thing he will learn as Daniel interprets his dream to him. And then he will learn also that as the nations of the earth are actually under the control of the hand of a sovereign God. And so we have in the sequence of nations in the dream, how that God is in control of the sequence of nations in relation to the present world. And then, of course, last of all, he has to learn that God is going to establish a kingdom in the earth that will be forever and ever. So the whole point of this chapter really is that Nebuchadnezzar might be taught these three things: the sovereignty of God, the controlling hand of God upon the nations, and how that God ultimately is going to establish his kingdom in the world, which will be forever and ever. What I want to do, first of all, before we come to the image, I want to pick up one or two of the practical implications of these first 30 verses. You'll notice that in verses 1 to 13, we have the crisis as far as Nebuchadnezzar is concerned. He dreams, and what he cannot do, he cannot recall the detail and he cannot understand the meaning of the dream. And so what he did in his crisis, he called the wise men of Babylon. He called the magicians, the astrologers, the astronomers, and the Chaldeans. And in his crisis, he asked these wise men to tell him, what actually did he dream? and then for them to give him the interpretation of that dream. But of course, they could not tell him what he had dreamed. So they could not tell him the interpretation of the dream. And so we find that the Chaldean says in verse number 11, no, it's a thing that no king has asked of any of his wise men to tell a dream and then the interpretation of it. The outcome of that was this, that Nebuchadnezzar made a decree that all the wise men of Babylon should be slain. Now there's a lesson here for us to learn. See, in days of crisis, where do we turn? You see, the ungodly, like Nebuchadnezzar, they turn to their wise men and spell out the crisis before them in the hope of getting some help. And that's what we have, first of all, in these opening verses, 1 to 13. The ungodly turn into other ungodly men, although wise, and yet not be able to get an answer to their question. When we come to verse 14 through to verse 30, we now have Daniel, the man that's beloved of God, but he's in crisis. Because in verse number 13, they sought for Daniel and his fellows to be slain. So Daniel now was in crisis. What does the man of God, a man beloved of God, what does a Christian do in times of crisis? Well, of course, we know what Daniel did. He turned unto the Lord. And of course, at this present time, it's very relevant, isn't it? We know not where the present situation between Russia and the Ukraine will go, whether it will be extended to other parts of Europe or even Britain. There could be these days of crisis ahead of us. Now, what Daniel did, in his day of crisis, he turned unto the Lord. You notice in verse 13, there is the situation. Daniel and his friends were sought that they might be slain. Now notice from verse 14 down to verse 19, five times Daniel uses the little word then. So we learn of the decree, the sentence of death into which they've been placed. Then Daniel answered with counsel and with wisdom, because he wanted to know why the king's decree was so hasty. And so we find when you get the word then, you must ask yourself when. And the when is explained for us in verse number 13. Then we're told in verse number 16, then Daniel went in to inquire of the king that he might have time and he would show him the dream and its interpretation. So Daniel now assures the king that given time, he will come again and reveal to the king what he wanted to know. So then Daniel went in unto the king to request time. So that's verse number 16. When we go to verse 17, then Daniel went to his house and he set the whole problem before his three friends. He told them of the decree. And so we find that having gone to his own house in verse number 16, Daniel then relates to his friends the crisis in which they find themselves. They were being sought after, and that to be slain. And of course, when we come to verse number 19, we find that twice over in that verse, Daniel uses that little word then. And in verse number 19, we find now that Daniel, he receives from the Lord the answer to their prayers, and the Lord revealed unto him the secrets. And then, of course, Daniel gave himself to praise and to worship. I just want to say to us all, in days of crisis, we need to turn to the Lord. Only the Lord can help us when things overtake us in the pathway of life that we find difficult to bear or difficult to understand. And you'll notice how Daniel gave himself to prayer with his three friends. First of all, it was a crisis prayer. Daniel prayed because of the crisis in which they found themselves. But then he sought companions in prayer. So he told his three friends the situation and the decree that had been made. Can I say this? Sometimes when we find ourselves in difficulty, it's good to do what Daniel did. He turned to those three friends, those spiritual young men, and shared the burden with them. And so sometimes we need to search out those spiritual man or a spiritual woman, in order that we might share the particular crisis of our life with them and seek their help and their companionship in prayer. And so the four of them gave themselves to prayer. But then we've noticed this prayer had a costliness attached to it. For it almost seems, as you read through this passage, that they, as he wrestled with God for a long period of time over this matter, that they might not perish with the wise men of Babylon. And then, of course, lastly, they had the compensation of God's answer to their prayer. He revealed unto Daniel the secret concerning the king's matter. So I take it that in these opening 30 verses, really, we have these practical implications in relation to the value of prayer in times of difficulty. And so we find that having been given by God the secret of the dream that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed, we then find that then Daniel lifted up his voice and he blessed the Lord, blessed the God of heaven, or the name of the God of heaven, forever and ever. In other words, he could, of course, have gone straight unto the captain of the king's guard and let him know that he had the answer for the king, but he didn't. God, having answered his prayer, he takes time now to bring a note of praise and thanksgiving unto God. And so he, first of all, in his prayer, he acknowledges the majesty, the divine majesty of God to whom he set before the crisis therein. And so he says, blessed be the name of the God of heaven forever and forever. You see, that is verse 20. When you go to verse 21, Daniel also recognizes and acknowledges no divine sovereignty. For after all, it's God who controls the times and the seasons. Furthermore, says Daniel, it's God who actually raises up men in places of power and also removes them. And so in his thanksgiving and his praise, he acknowledges divine character, or the divine majesty of God and the divine overruling of God in the matter even of those who are found in power. That's very important for us, of course, isn't it? Because many questions are being raised about the situation with regard to Russia and the Ukraine. And already questions being asked by younger men. If it escalates and it involves Britain and the call to go to war, what is the position of a Christian in that situation? You see, what Daniel recognizes and acknowledges is, after all, God is sovereign. He puts up into power and he takes down from power. And so Daniel, in the acknowledgement of divine majesty and divine sovereignty, he then expresses that God was a God of divine secrets, for he knew the secret things in the place of darkness. And so God was a God who knew secrets, even the secrets in darkness. And then, of course, we see the compensation. God revealed unto Daniel the secret of that dream. So it's very important for us, just very practically, really, to see the value of prayer in days when difficulties come, when days of crisis may come upon us, to go to God and acknowledge, after all, his divine majesty and his divine knowledge and his divine control of every situation. And so we find from verse number 14, right down through to verse number 30, Daniel is actually with his friends. They spend time resting with God in prayer in order that they may have an answer to the situation. And having got the answer, having taken time to praise God and thank God for his goodness and for his mercies, for after all, they desired mercies of God, that they should not be slain with the wise men of Babylon. And God has shown them mercy. And now Daniel can go to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, and tell him that he could now reveal to the king what he had dreamed and the interpretation of it. Notice you not how Arioch handles that situation. He takes personal advantage of this fact. Daniel came to him. So when he went in before the king, he said, I have found a man among the captives of Judah who can tell the king his dream. So it seems to me that Arioch would take the opportunity to bring grandeur to his own person. He claimed to have found the man with the answer. So really, that takes us through those 30 verses that opens this very interesting chapter. But really, from verse 31, and that to the end of the chapter, what we have now is what the Lord referred to in Luke chapter 21 and verse 24, that Jerusalem will be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles were fulfilled. And what this dream and its interpretation is all about is the times of the Gentiles. For in this dream, we have the commencement of the times of the Gentiles. It began when Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, was given by God power and authority and rule and dominion over all the children of the earth and over the beasts of the field and over the birds of the air. God gave to Nebuchadnezzar, he gave to him dominion. And the only difference between this dominion and that of Adam, Adam had dominion over the fish of the sea. So in some respects, the dominion that God gave to Nebuchadnezzar was limited. He did not have dominion over the fish of the sea. But Daniel reminds him that God had given him this power and in his sovereignty had raised him up to a position where he was actually in dominion over the children of men throughout the whole earth. And so we find that was the commencement of the times of the Gentiles, when God removed government from the hands of Israel and put in the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, the first of those Gentile kings who operated such a powerful kingdom. And so we learn from this chapter that after all, it all commenced way back, I think in 606 BC, when God gave Nebuchadnezzar dominion in such a way. Well, of course, time does run out. But you will remember, will you not, that what God did for Nebuchadnezzar, Satan will do for the coming beast in Revelation chapter 13. For when the devil brings up his man, the beast, and he will have control of the children of the earth, we find that the devil will give him his power and his authority and his throne. So what we have even in the beginning of this dream is that God gave unto Nebuchadnezzar his power over the children of men. So the devil will give to his man that same kind of power. So the world initially will be controlled by the beast of Revelation chapter 13. And so what Daniel is saying unto Nebuchadnezzar, the position he's enjoying now has been given to him by God. God gave him. Just as God put Jehoiakim into his hand, God has put all children of the earth under his control. And so we find as Daniel then tells him what else he saw. He saw not only the image, the image was of a man. And a terrible picture, as the scripture describes it. For what Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream was a great man whose head was of fine gold, whose breast and arms of silver, whose belly and brass, belly and arms and belly and thighs were of brass, legs of iron, and the feet and toes of iron mixed with clay. What Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream was this tremendous image of a man made of these different metals, and altogether beyond his comprehension to whatever a dream like that could be. That's why his spirit was troubled. When he saw the dream, when he had the dream. And so what Daniel has done, he's just told King Nebuchadnezzar the details of the dream that he dreamed. And not only that, where did he see a man such as that? He then goes on in the interpretation to make Nebuchadnezzar understand what was the meaning of this dream. For after all, it not only was the commencement of the times of the Gentiles, when the Gentiles will be in control throughout the world and no longer the Jews, but also we see the course of Gentile world power. So we have Babylon, and then we have the chest and arms of silver, and the belly and thighs of brass. And so what Daniel is saying unto Nebuchadnezzar in his interpretation, thou art a king of kings, for thou art this head of gold. And there's never been no king like Nebuchadnezzar, who has such dominion, such wide dominion, and such control over the people. And so we find that Daniel has to say to him that after him will arise another kingdom, but not in the same power. In other words, he will not have the control that Babylon had under Nebuchadnezzar. For Nebuchadnezzar was given all that power by God at the commencement of the times of the Gentile. But then says Daniel to Nebuchadnezzar, you see, after thee shall come another, a second kingdom, but not like unto thee. And then a third. Now he doesn't name the second and third kingdom here in chapter 2. And then you're straight on down to the feet. For he says, this image that you saw was, after all, contained, it also had feet and toes of iron and clay. So here we have an image. The dream that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed in the night, a dream, I tell you, that God had given to him to set forth the commencement and the course of Gentile world power in this present world. And so we find we have the head of gold, then we have the silver, then we have the brass, then we come down to the iron and the clay. So we find that the very metals that make up this image are deteriorating as we come down the image. Well, perhaps you also leave the remainder of the image and its interpretation with regard to the breast and the belly and thighs and the feet and the toes until next time. But I just wanted to pick up the implications that were practical in their issues for us in our day, for whenever we are found in crisis or have crisis times, to remember to turn to the Lord. For after all, as Daniel said, the God of heaven, he showed mercies and revealed the secret unto Daniel as a result of his prayer. So God willing, we'll just look at the interpretation of the dream in detail as we come to the closing part of this chapter. That is from verse 35, or verse 36, down to verse number 49. Trust in some measure, God might bless his word to us on this occasion.
Amen.